This is Let's Break Good, the podcast where good is just not good enough. I'm your host, Joe Agoda, and on today's premiere episode, we'll look at how a road trip across Africa, a happy hour in New York City, and the Soccer World Cup led to the inspirational idea of breaking good. We'll talk about the balance of perseverance and grit that it takes to bring your vision and your ideas into reality. Then later, an explanation of what we are trying to achieve on the podcast and why we need everyone breaking good in 2019 more than ever before. So let's do it. Let's get started.
I want to break free.
Hi, I'm Dagi Dawit, and this is my podcast. Talent is rising. Talent is powerful. Talent is unstoppable. Talent is driven. Talent is fearless. Talent is a lifeblood of possibility. Talent is the difference between greatness and irrelevance. Talent turns potential into opportunity. Talent is ready for anything, and sometimes, just sometimes, talent manages to change the world. This is the Talent Listing.
A guest in the studio who was here with us 2 years back. His name is Dagmawi Dawit. We were discussing previously in the talent space what he was doing 2 years back, but now he has a lot of endeavors in his portfolio. Mm-hmm. And then he is here to enlighten us on what's going on in that space.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back again. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Wow, time
flies by. That's ridiculous. It's good to be on the other side of the microphone.
You know, you will explain that to the audience.
Because I've been, you know, praying and posting on such activity for the last 1 year. So, I'm Dagam. Most people know me on the recruitment space here locally. Right now, I am basically involved in helping companies hire the perfect candidate using data and imagination. That's the right word for you.
Data and imagination.
Data and imagination, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since time might not be enough for the discussion,
yes.
Without taking a music break,
yes.
We will allow you to tell us all about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
My pleasure. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
For the last a couple of years, I was engaged in helping employers, mainly recruiters and hiring managers, in different space, mainly in technology, IT, and in different area, mainly companies who are operating here in Ethiopia and outside Ethiopia. So my sole purpose was just to elevate, you know, their recruiting headache using a data and imagination. How we were able to do that was we come out with a product called Expert Review. It's a video interview. It's the next generation video interviewing platform where candidates record themselves. There's a self-recording to the platform, and there's also one-on-one interview platform, and there's also a one-way interview platform. Right now we are experimenting with tech talent. So recently we just partnered with a company in Kenya called they're basically involved in producing the best IT talent in Africa, and they are mainly teaching the next Africa great coders, software developers. So we provide this product comes out of a need to help employers, you know, to find and screen the kind of candidate they want. So basically it helps hiring managers or recruiters to easily assess and screen those candidates. One way to do that is the candidate, once they come to the platform, maybe we'll talk detail about that later, and how it works and what exactly does, you know, okay. Yeah, does it require from the candidate, from the recruiter, and from the employer side. We'll talk more on that. But right now, I am mainly engaged in just helping those employers and recruiters, you know, helping them with, you know, having a data and imagination to hire people. When I'm not doing those things, I produce a podcast series called The Talent Listing.
Which is a good thing.
Perfect. So I'm a geek. I love to read. I'm geek like that. I love to read articles. So some of the topics I discuss is about AI and about the narration of talent and ambition and you know, the future work and life and anything that happened in between, you know, 30 minutes from now, what's going to happen now, okay. And how is that going to affect
13. That's very short.
Very short.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, things happen like in a snap of fingers, yeah. So anything can happen. And that, how's that going to, like, you know, affect us,
yeah.
In, you know, in terms of work and life, and how should people, you know, have themselves ready to what's coming. So I talk about that like whimsical stuff on my podcast.
Okay. So just to summarize, you're helping companies,
yes,
get IT talent, yeah. IT related technology,
mainly tech talent, yeah.
Tech talent,
yeah.
And it could be remote.
Yes,
the job seeker could be, the candidate anywhere. Could be remote.
Yes,
and then you help them how to remotely assess
exactly
those candidates
exactly,
to, leading them up to the recruitment aspect.
Yes, yes.
So Dagan, can you tell us the current recruitment process here in Ethiopia or in general?
In general, okay. Right now, what is really impressing me is, and sometimes really surprising me, is that I was trying to mention it earlier, is the there's, you know, the idea of that there are no, like, the white collar jobs in the market. And I'm pretty sure you guys have, like, a macro level understanding of the labor market in our country. Mm-hmm. Well, we all know the numbers. We all know the numbers.
It's good to mention them.
Since I'm not a statistician or I'm not economist, okay. Maybe, you know, just naming or just having, you know, calling out a number, and that might not be helpful. But we all know the numbers.
Okay.
Something that is really that have been recurring with employers and with the job seekers, that for example, for every half, especially when we focus in terms of, like, fresh graduates, overall in Africa, like, there are like 20-25 million graduates every year.
Every year.
And half of them, they don't have a job, or half of them, there's less probability of, you know, getting a job, the first job they want.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more 10 times worse here, locally here in Ethiopia, mainly for two reasons. The first reason is that, okay, most of the job seekers, and they don't have the employability skill that the employers are looking for, which is the number one reason. The second reason is that there are no available jobs. Obviously, there are no available jobs in the market. So right now, you know, the current landscape of talent in currently here and locally is that I see a lot of employers, you know, refraining themselves from hiring.
Because they feel that the right skill for them is not available.
It's not available.
Okay.
And hiring is usually very costly. It's very expensive.
It's very
expensive. It's easier for employers to just to retain, you know, the stuffs they have. I heard this line from a song, and it makes me laugh. The line said, "Marriage is $1,000, divorce is $50,000."
That's how much it costs.
Yeah, that's how much it costs. Yeah,
okay.
Maybe to get married, you might need a couple of thousand,
yeah.
Bird or more. But to get divorced, it's like worse,
yeah.
10 times worse.
Yeah.
You know. So
you're using the same analogy for
the employers.
Okay.
Yeah, the same analogy for employers. It's easy, you know, to keep people, but you know, just, you know, if you let them go and then to hire all over again might be very costly. Yeah. One thing that is really something that I saw very interesting is this concept of returnship. Mm-hmm. Returnship that a couple of very few employers are, you know, they usually have employers who went on sabbatical.
Okay.
They took a 1 year, or maybe they used to work for that company for 5 years or 6 years or maybe more than 10 years or 25 years. Yeah. So some very strategic company, it's a very strategic move, by the way, I really appreciate it. What they do is that they, instead of like hiring, looking for the talent in the market, since the talent in the market right now here in Ethiopia, especially here in Addis, is very, very scarce. So the only very standout talent you see, even in marketing, finance, IT, is that there are very few individuals, very few individuals. That's why company need to focus on fresh graduates. They need to invest in fresh graduates. So what they're doing now is that, okay, they have those staff who've been working with them for long years, long time. So it is easier to have those staffs back to the office or back to the company organization, and then, you know, reap the benefit of having those experienced, you know, staffs. And they call it that returnship. But it's the opposite of internship.
Yeah, but they have not left. They went for a sabbatical.
So
they will come back.
They will come back. Okay. Maybe some of them, maybe they left. They left the company for their own reason.
Okay.
And it's a very strategic move. It's a very strategic talent acquisition.
Okay.
Because, you know, those staffs, they know the company well. They're very experienced in that specific role. So they know the company culture.
Yeah.
So it's easy for the company just to have their old staff. Which begs the question that I would really, really appreciate if some employers can really handle their employees very well, because at the end of the day, when they leave you, they are your brand ambassadors. They are the one, you know, saying good stuff about your company. They are your marketers.
This works from the other side as well. A lot of employees, when they leave, they assume that they're not going to see those employers, and
exactly.
they burn the bridge.
Most employees, they don't have a safe exit.
It works for both.
They leave the company, they bad mouth, but it's a very small circle. At the end of the day, you know, the job listing will be. One thing I notice in terms of like talent and what employers are looking for is that this specific sort of a skill they're looking for among the job seekers is that, you know, the more emotional aspect, that the emotional, or not the technical or hard skill aspect, the behavioral aspect of, you know, the candidates. If you go to ETA Jobs and look the first 100 job posters today, and you will see out of those 100 job posters on ETA Jobs, you will see the requirement that they focus more on interpersonal skill, on communication, on teamwork, organization, or those very soft skills. So right now, companies are more into that. And if you go to each job, see the job vacancies there, their requirement more focuses on those soft skills. So that's one trend. That's what's happening now. Other things that I have notice is that some very, very good companies, I don't want to drop a name, is that there are companies who are helping the fresh graduates, you know, cover their student loan, let's say, as a benefit, which is very good, which is one of my absolute favorite idea is, students, they apply for that company, can be Commercial Bank of Ethiopia, or Ethiopian Airlines, or Coca-Cola, or Heineken. Those are the big, huge companies here that are mainly hiring fresh graduates. So as one of their benefits, some of them are like introducing this idea, paying the loan for the students. The university tuition, like the, what was it called? Cost sharing?
Exactly.
The cost sharing. Exactly. So that's one way, really good idea of like, you know, attracting talent. Right now, since the talent is very scarce in the market, company needs to focus on attracting those talents, those very good talent to them, and then engaging them, and then having this wonderful candidate experience. One way to do that is, like what I mentioned earlier, is that some company are introducing that if you come and work with us, we're going to cover or pay your cost sharing. University course sharing, so which is a very good idea that I'm noticing these days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier that you're very passionate about recruitment and also artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
We know artificial intelligence is getting into all sorts of fields these days, starting from health to banking to various sectors. So can you tell us how recruiters or companies can leverage artificial intelligence or AI to their own benefit in their recruitment process?
Oh, yeah, great. All right, technology is, you know, double-edged sword. I did an episode on my podcast about about, you know, the advantage and disadvantage of, you know, having technology and having people, having human element, because there's like now two situations. There's like the you know, a robot or an artificial intelligence coming and replacing the mundane work of people, and then at the same time, there's an AI, artificial intelligence, facilitating, you know, the work of people. Like my personal character is that I always talk about the Tony Stark from Iron Man. I follow the model of Tony Stark. For those of you Marvel fans, much love for the geeks out there. The Tony Stark model is that, you know, technology automation should help facilitate or guide the human capability. Not, we should not overly, you know, dominated or controlled by it. Okay. So, but I see an interesting space, you know, happening now in our country. You know, what ICOG is doing, even some tech companies are like mainly, you know, focusing on this one, is that we need to change. We need to change the narrative of that. You know, at the end of the day, AI is a program, is algorithm. So the algorithm is programmed by a human. That person is not perfect. So they will program, you know, the algorithm based on their sort of belief, what they think is the reality. So one thing I need to just, you know, we need to be careful when I say technology is a double-edged sword, is we need very talented programmers here in our country to just flip this narrative. Let's say if you go to Google and then search three white boys, the search result will bring, you know, the search result will be like, you know, three white kids, you know, having fun, you know, hugging each other, that kind of search. But if you type like three black boys in the Google, the result will be a mugshot from a prison. So what is that? What is that?
That's terrible.
That's terrible. So this algorithm has been program coded by someone else. Someone else with an agenda, someone else with a, you know, some political view.
In their own bias.
In their own bias. So or, we need to flip that.
Or the data. Because Google's, I don't want to divert from the topic. Google's algorithm, there is no one person tweaking the search. There are 500 changes every year.
Exactly.
In the Google algorithm. So the data that enters. Unless we change the data consciously, then the algorithm brings whatever it finds sooner.
Exactly.
So even though I don't believe that somebody is tweaking that, even though the chances are there,
machine learning,
even though the chances are there, it's highly possible. But one point that comes to mind is the data, which also relates, if I don't take you away from your conversation, AI needs data.
Data, absolutely.
So in our country, where we don't have much data on recruitment, even employers who've been here for 50 years, if they don't have the data prepared, this person got into our company at time X, they left at time Y, for so and so reason. If they don't have the data, we will be in trouble trying to train our AI.
Exactly.
So maybe you can continue your discussion.
Exactly. So we need like a homegrown developers, software developers, and we've seen them. It's very promising. We've seen very, very high potential, you know, programmers and coders coming out. And there's a great initiative being done by certain companies in that space, which is good. I think that's going to be changed. But like you said, we live in a country where there's like less value of having a data. So to create that system is going to take us some time. But I really urge, you know, our programmers, software developers, you know, to just come out with our own set of algorithm. So employers, you know, in different area, it can be in health, education, environment, you know, right now we're just talking about employers.
Yeah.
But just to come back to your to the other side of your question, to the job seekers, one thing that AI can really help, one of the products we developed that I am currently evangelizing here in Africa for expert review, is that there is a built-in AI system to the product. It's a refined AI. So basically what it does is that when the job seekers are being recorded or interviewed or video interviewed by employers, the AI system will gauge their engagement level.
Okay.
How engaged they are.
Only verbal, not body language, eh?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. Even there is emotional analysis.
Okay.
Like, were you sad? Were you excited? Were you bored? But most candidates, they don't know that.
Of course not.
Because just for them, it's like a Skype. You know, they're like, you know, it's a video, but they don't understand that there's like an AI built in it. The AI is, they're engaging their engagement level and their emotional analysis. So, which is great for job seekers, especially for our age. I'm a late bloomer, of course. For the millennials, 20 plus year, is because they're very very into technology. They're it's easy for them to adapt to what's coming, and very technology savvy and technology adaptive generation we have. For them, one of the biggest gap, and especially in employment, is that those millennials, younger generation, they're having difficulty having that emotional intelligence. Right now, it's really difficult, because they spend most of their time on Instagram, Facebook, chatting. It's really hard for them. Even I have an experience, interviewing people who come from private school, mainly here in Ethiopia, from private.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different, like, students who come from a government school and then a private school, there's a totally different set of behavior they exhibit when you interview them.
Okay.
So for the private, students who came from in private, I see this problem of, looking someone in the eyes and then conversing, having that social skill. So
they lack that.
They lack that.
Okay.
They lack that, because that constant engagement, texting, and no FaceTime, having constant engagement with their device is not helping them, which begs the question, if the younger generation is lacking those emotional intelligence, employers are forced to look into the more experienced,
mm-hmm.
more old school, because they don't have any option. And right now, most companies prefer more older, experienced candidates than the younger one.
Okay.
Because the younger one, if they don't come out with the right set of attitude, it's really hard to train them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that emotional intelligence is not there. Maybe AI,
This is for the young audience. Listen carefully.
yes.
Okay.
AI, artificial intelligence, maybe can help. There are different tools out there that facilitate, help them to develop, those skills, those like very, very important life skills and, social skills that they can use on day to day, on when they are interviewing or when they're, dealing with colleagues or having their first time job. Is that there are tools out there. Maybe to name a few tools for job seekers that help them. There's a software called Pymetrics. It's an online game.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go Pymetrics, Pymetrics. Pymetrics.
Okay.
You can Google it. Unilever use it to hire younger fresh graduates for their.
They just allow you to play the game.
Yeah. So what they do is that, okay, you go online. You think you're playing game, but they are checking your emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Your reaction time. How quick are you to reply to something?
Okay.
But it's a game. It's an online game. So, but if those job seekers, they understand how the system works, and they can like constantly, going to the application and then going to see themselves how they're doing when they are playing game, because at the end of the day, they edutainment is, you need to educate them at the same time. There's the fun value has to be there for them to engage.
Okay.
So Pymetrics kind of tool might help those younger job seekers, to develop, in terms of emotional intelligence, how do I relate, self-awareness, and understanding their value.
Yeah, especially as you said, regarding the tech space, since you're interested in that, most developers or any graduate, it could be an economist or a management graduate, they think that if they are very much well-skilled in their field, the interpersonal or communication skills don't really matter as long as they're really skilled in their craft.
Yeah.
But as you said, in the recruitment space,
it's
you need to work
around
with people, you need to collaborate.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So the next question is, regarding the recruiters, should they be worried about AI, you know, the, with the automation scene, and people are these days becoming very much worrisome about their jobs in the next 5 to 10 years. So what does it look like for recruiters? Is it going to be complete automation and replacement, or is there a sort of synergy where recruiters can augment their job for the for their own benefit? What does it look like?
Well, you know, talking like contextually, we're not there yet. We're not there yet contextually. Even recruiters right now, the best recruiter, in my view, is someone who understands the need of the hiring manager from the employer side. If you understand the need of the hiring manager, I think it's going to be it's easy to do their job. Contextually, I don't see recruiters having the right set of skills, sorry to say this. I always urge recruiters to develop some set of soft skills to really understand the human element of what they're actually doing, because mostly they're engaged on the day-to-day administration aspect of their job. You know, the administration aspect of the HR, the hiring aspect of it. I noticed they tend to lack on the soft skill side of the job, which is very, very important. I always urge them, you know, to do, you know, to go to Toastmasters, to craft, you know, their public, you know, public skill.
For the recruiters.
Recruiters.
Okay.
Recruiters. Even I also suggest in one of my podcasts is that, you know, there's a pickup artist. Pickup artist community online. So basically, it's like a group of, you know, people trying to, you know, work on themselves, you know, to be presentable to someone. Mainly, it's on the dating scene.
Okay.
So if you go there, and then you will really, really find a great tools and how to improve your confidence, how to have a great, you know, presence with someone else, something like that. So for local recruiters, I urge them to work on their soft skills because they like that. Some of the complaint I receive from the job seekers is that most recruiters here, they don't encourage reaching out to the job seekers, which is one of the most headache for job seekers, is that they don't encourage reaching out.
I guess in short, the bossy mentality is still there.
In terms of, like, you know, globally, intercontinentally, you know, what's happening in Kenya. Let's say Kenya is, the tech space is very growing. Some of the projects I work horizontally is with, you know, with people from Kenya. The tech space is really, 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 really growing there. And what you said, that the automation and all that stuff is, like, you know, we just seeing it in distance. In the neighboring countries, maybe outside in that space, in my area, in talent acquisition and in terms of technology, what I notice is that it's not going to be a terminator. For example, there's this huge big company, they come out with an algorithm that says, let's say, for example, they check Brooke's like internet activity. Let's say if you are, like, most of the time, if you, you know, go to ET Jobs or any online job posters in, and you take your time there, their algorithm will, like, you know, track your internet history, and they can predict that if Buruk is going to stay with us or not.
Okay.
Within
as
3 months.
Employers.
As employer, yeah. As good. So if they think that, okay, Buruk has been engaged, you know, watching some
sites,
or maybe you went to Twitter, you've been watching Game of Thrones tweets a lot, they might give you, like, a pop-up, hey, you've been engaging on Twitter and then watching Game of Thrones tweets, is that relevant for you? They might give you that kind of pop-up question. They have that kind of system. But they can predict how, like, whether you're going to live or not based on your internet activity or your social media activity, or if you're more, you know, reaching out for people on LinkedIn for job opportunity, they will see that. So for companies, it's easy for them to, okay, if they want to keep you, they might, you know, raise your salary, so you're not going anywhere. If they don't want you, they would just wait for 3 months, and then when you submit your resignation, thank you.
We knew it was coming.
So they do that. So this is like, you know, the AI doing the job that the human cannot do.
Okay, but one question here, isn't there a privacy question here?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
What does the law aspect say about that?
Well, right now, even with this video platform, right now I'm the product we've developed.
Yeah.
Right now I'm working as a product evangelist for Africa. There is now, I think there's a rules and regulation that have been passed recently, is that, for example, this video you have no idea how this video interview platform work.
And you're not even informed.
You're being recorded. And you don't know what aspect of you, let's say you're emotional, how sad you are, how engaged you are. This artificial intelligence is analyzing your emotional, aspect.
What if I had a flu that
exactly. Okay. So it's more biased. So there's like a terms and conditions, and like an argument has to be signed between you and the vendor.
Okay,
this is how it works. We're gonna record you. I noticed, you know, when we test our product, I noticed when candidate, when we interview them, some of them were like checking their hair. They didn't know that they've been recorded. It's a definite no-no.
That has to be informed.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but right now, if you are on the internet, you don't have any privacy. Period.
So we can do nothing.
And the more data you have online, the more there is no privacy. More data, more problem right now, at this moment.
Or make your data good.
Very.
Don't say something you regret 5 years from now.
Exactly. So, you know, the whole idea of recruiter's job is not going to be replaced anytime soon. But again, it's a Tony Stark situation. The technology, all the automation, the artificial intelligence is going to help facilitate, you know, the capacity and the skill we have as a human.
Welcome back. We're joined with Dagmar David here today. We're talking about recruitment and artificial intelligence. So Dagan, can you tell us how recruiters can use artificial intelligence to help them reduce their workload, from starting from screening to in the interview part?
Great. I'm going to relate it to this product we've developed now, Expert Review, next generation video interviewing platform. Right now, what we're doing is to help especially recruiters, you know, make their job easier. Is we will ask candidates to register and have their profile on the platform. So once they have their like exact information, demographic information on the platform, the AI, the built-in AI within the system, will try to create a set of questions. A set of questions that's related to any job vacancies going to be out on the platform, or any job vacancies that's going to be put by the employers. For example, if X company is looking for IT, maybe a software developer, so they would just register on the platform, and they have to fill out, you know, the exact information, because it's like garbage in, garbage out, or what. Just the machine gives you whatever you provide. You provide. Yeah. So once those candidates, you know, put the right information on the system, the built-in AI system will try to relate to the job vacancy they have applied, and then create questions, built-in questions, just to screen. At this point, the recruiters are not doing anything. The system, the artificial intelligence is doing its job. So it's a screening them. So once the AI analyze, okay, based on the application and profile of the candidate and the set of screen question that this candidate has passed. So the AI will suggest for the recruiter or hiring manager, so you can set up like an interview with this candidate. It will suggest. Mm. So half of like the job is done by the system.
Mm.
One way to do that is that, let's say if the company is using like ATS application tracking system, or just to put it in a layman word, let's say ETA Jobs as a job board, as online online job board, they have built-in application tracking system where employees can have all the applicants on their database, and then they can track them like 3 months back or 6 months back or a year back based on their application. So if the company or the programmers, the one handling the website, can come out with a chatbot or a different bots that only screen the first maybe 3,000, 5,000 or 500 candidates. So that way, the recruiter is more focusing on the human element aspect of the job, not the administration, the mundane,
the grunt work.
Yeah, the grunt work, all that, you know, all that stuff. So I think that way the recruiters might be benefited, you know, by building chatbots. The programmers, if they're able to develop chatbots, it makes the job much easier. The other is there's been a study. Basically, it's outside. You know, we talked about earlier of how artificial intelligence is. It's not what it does, but it's how it's programmed, and there are usually biases.
Mm-hmm.
So the biases more come when there is human element into it. So how you minimize the bias is that by using technology.
Indeed.
With the right input, yeah, mm-hmm. with the right input. So there was this AI, you know, scanning a facial, like the face of different politicians and different, you know, celebrities. And just by scanning their face, the artificial intelligence would just label them as a criminal, as a scam bag, as someone who did this, who did that. But that person is not anything far, far, far related to that. So this is a bias. But anyone can come with this an idea called algorithm auditor.
Okay.
So he will audit the algorithm. How is it biased, or how's it functioning? How's it programmed? Does it have the right data? So this person called, you know, doing the auditing for the algorithm is going to be on demand, maybe in the near future, because most companies will use built-in AI on their system. It can be for healthcare, IT, technology, finance, you know, those jobs that are like close to be automated and then maybe replaced by a machine. So the algorithm auditor will come, okay, you don't have the right data for this algorithm, so you should do this, and then they will just audit, just like internal auditor for finance.
Okay.
So
probably they should have a mix of expertise from software development and
exactly
the specific field, maybe.
Exactly. But okay, right now, that's the thing. Okay, a lot of people ask me on my podcast about, I talk about AI. My background is a social science. I'm a social science.
Okay.
My first degree was psych.
Yeah.
I'm more into management and in business. So, but I talk about AI. So some of my listeners are like, why are you talking about AI? You're not a software engineer. You're not someone technical or, you know, with a, you know, computer engineering background. Mm-hmm. But that is changing. That is changing, because right now on this, the whole arena of artificial intelligence, there are three professionals that are not right now being involved. One, the technical, you know, the software engineers, the developers, the programmers. The second is there are psychologists, behavioral scientists, social scientists that are being involved, checking if the algorithm that the programmers or the software developers created is right or not. So there is like more human element into, you know, the scenery.
That makes sense.
So that's why I really urge anyone. Shout out to Betty, who's helping kids to code now with her project. Anyone can code. Thumbs up. Big fan. Betty from iCog. I think the next very important skill is that anyone needs to know how to code, how to understand. Okay, you don't need to be a software programmer, you don't need to be a developer, but at least understand how the algorithms work in the layman level.
It's a good skill to have.
It's a good skill because one way, yeah, it's like it's going to be very basic skill within 5 years or 10 years. Right now it's happening. Mm. So anyone can learn to code. Anyone with any background, because you know, if you don't understand, you know, how Google algorithm works, if you don't understand how YouTube algorithm works, those social media are affecting our lives one way or the other. So, but if you have this like basic understanding of, okay, how does the algorithm work, how is the coding, how does they do it, what is the machine learning, how do they pick, you know, the behavior of the users, if you have that understanding, I think you're less likely you're going to be influenced by the outcome, by the machines.
At the end of the day, even the software developers, they will have a flow chart of what their algorithm does. So basically, if there is a team of, you know, software developers, psychologists, social scientists, they can always talk about the flowchart. What does your code do at this specific point? And then they can refine whatever the algorithm does later on. So it's the collaboration. That's
exactly. There was this very controversial tweet 2 years ago.
Okay.
With this big company, learn to code. So the CEO of the company made this very controversial and condescending comment on plumbers, factory workers, saying that your job is not going to exist 10 years from now if you don't know how to code. Well, by then the tweet was very controversial. There was a lot of backfiring.
Okay.
But there's some partial truth to it. Right now, if you don't understand how the system, the technology is working at the right now, I think you're going to be affected by
it's strengthening their livelihood, so it's good. It's a good skill to have. So
I think we're running out of time. How many minutes do we have?
I think we have 2 minutes. Any final remark, and if you can wrap up with the suggestions that you have, and also if you could tell us
any remarks.
Recruiters, I would really appreciate it if you can reach out to candidates, especially locally. This is for the local talent community. Encourage reaching out. Job seekers are looking for a job. Hiding behind a back office or hiding, you know, doing whatever you're doing, maybe is not a good way of, you know, reaching. You know, I really suggest reaching out to the candidates. For the job seekers, please focus on your soft skills. If you want to stand out at the moment, I would suggest, please, you can start a blog to make sure that people know what you want. How I started my podcast is, one, I'm branding myself. Two, I invite experts. It's one way of recruiting for me. Whenever I invite experts, that I am recruiting someone. And two, I am sharing my knowledge and my passion in my area. So for fresh graduates, you can start a blog or podcast. It's easy to create a podcast these days. It's one way to put yourself in the map.
Thank you so much, Dagum.
Thank you.
Well, time was running out, we didn't really touch the areas you probably would have touched. So hopefully we'll see
maybe some
next
other time.
Some other time with additional technological inputs regarding the space.
Yeah.
With that, it's thank you from me and Mike.
Hey guys, this is Dagi again. You can subscribe to this podcast in Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, or via podcasting app of your choice. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back with another episode. I hope you will join me. Bye!